It's about him. It's about him. As you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 13, Jesus must be the center of every service. He must be the center of every song, every praise that comes out of my mouth, every sermon that's preached from this pulpit. Jesus Christ must be the center. And he must be the center of my life and of your life. If you're a guest here today, it is our prayer that you have already been blessed. And it is certainly our prayer that before you leave this building here today, that you will have received everything that Jesus Christ desires to give to you. If you need healing, our prayer is that he will heal you. If you need strength in an area in our life, our prayer is that you will receive it. If you need deliverance from an addiction, our prayer is that you will let him bring deliverance. You have never received the gift of his spirit into your life, don't leave without it. And if you've never been buried in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism, don't leave without allowing us to bury you in a watery grave where all your past will stay. And when you come out of that baptism, you will be a new creature in Christ. Can somebody give witness to the power of the Lord? The word of the Lord says, and now abideth. Everybody say, and now abideth. Faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Lord Jesus, we ask you today that you would touch my mind and my heart. Help me to minister to your people. The precious people that have gathered into this building today have come to hear from you. It is our prayer that your spirit will saturate this place. And Lord, that flesh will step out of the way that spirit might have its divine will. Touch our hearts and our minds and strengthen us and uplift us. I pray that we receive from you today what you have so graciously brought to give us. We ask it in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody say amen. And everyone say, Lord, open my mind to understand. Open my heart to receive. Clap your hands to the Lord, for he is worthy. Lord bless you. You may be seated. We have been preaching, teaching from this verse for the last 3 weeks, the last six messages. And I intended today to try to wrap it up dealing with charity. But to be honest, I'm not sure I'm going to get there. As I begin to try to close things up with hope last Sunday and doing just a little review over the last few days to try to bring this scripture to a closure, the Lord began to deal with Pastor on some other areas that I feel is important that we receive from the word of the Lord. So if God helps us and we make it to the end, hallelujah. But if we don't, well, if he doesn't come, there's always another Sunday. But we have taken a journey in this incredible, impacting scripture, 1 Corinthians 13 and 13. We have looked into this word called faith. this word called hope. And we are trying to get to that word called charity. We look prior to this scripture to try to get a better understanding of the foundation of where Paul the Apostle was coming from when he wrote to the church of Corinth. And he said in this verse, "And now abideth." When we look at the preceding verses, we can get a better glimpse of what Paul the Apostle is trying to tell the church. You see, he deals with the fact that the day is coming that we will walk on streets of gold. The day is coming that we will be in the presence of Christ. The Bible says we will be known as we are known. Our understanding will be enlightened. Our vision will have pure, perfect clarity when we are with Him. But Paul the Apostle goes on to say that we are not there now, but now we are here. And he said, here we see through a glass darkly. Here our understanding is in part. We only have partial wisdom, partial understanding, and our vision isn't clear at all. There's nobody in this building today who does not desire to be able to have clear vision of tomorrow. Amen. In fact, wouldn't it be nice to know what the stock market's going to do on Monday? Because if I knew exactly what the stock market was going to do on Monday, I think I know where I'd invest my money before it opened. But we don't have that clarity. We don't have the clarity of even our own actions, thoughts, words, and deeds. Deep inside of our own flesh, our own mind, and our own spirit is the fear of tomorrow. In fact, Jesus himself said, "Don't worry about tomorrow. It has all the evil it needs within itself. Don't add to the evil of tomorrow by worrying about it today." But you see, it's in our nature because our vision isn't clear. Our understanding is so limited. And so Paul the Apostle, given this explanation to the church, he goes on to say, "However, now abideth faith, hope, and charity." Because we live in this kind of a world, we live in this limited vessel that our spirit is encapsulated in, which hinders all of our perceptions. Because of that, Paul says, "God has given me and you the power of faith." And that with the power of faith, it doesn't matter what tomorrow holds, as long as I hold on to the one who controls tomorrow. And with the power of faith, even though I can't see what tomorrow brings, I can stand in faith and I can stand in hope and know that the God that I serve will take care of me and carry me through my tomorrow. So Paul the Apostle said, we see through a glass darkly. Now let me try to get through this quickly. We live in the now. He talks in Galatians about what the now is. For now the works of the flesh are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, and the list goes on and on and on. Because now is greed. Now is lust. Now is envy. Now is hatred. Now are all of the works of the flesh in me and in you. And God understands that. So He's given us what we need now so that we can live for Him now, so that we can walk in the Spirit now, so that we can be victorious now, so that we can live in power and in the glory of His presence now. How do I do that? I do it by faith. Remember, we talked about that Jesus did not pray for the failures of Peter or the weaknesses of Peter. He didn't say, Simon, I pray a prayer of strength on you. Simon, I'm going to move obstacles out of your way. No, He just looked at Simon and said, Simon, I pray your faith fail thee not. Why? Because if I have faith, it doesn't matter what I've got to face, I can make it. If I have faith, it don't matter how deep the valley is, I'll get through it. If I have faith, it don't matter how high the mountain is, I'll get over it. So everybody say, now faith. All right, let me run through this, dear Lord. I'll spend forever on that. So we make our way into understanding. Ephesians 6 and 16. Above all, say above all. Above all. Above all. Taking the shield of, wherein ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I love that word, quench. You see, this is what faith does for us, and this is what we're going to talk about here in just a few minutes. Faith is married to hope. They work together. They walk together. They are in perfect harmony of one another to enable us to make it through a world of discouragement, in a world of depression, in a world of oppression. And here Paul says, you take on the shield of faith and it will quench the fiery darts. We gave that little example last week about the lighter. You see, when we pray, this is what we want to do. When we pray, we want God to answer right then. We want to see the answer come immediately. But the Bible says the shield of faith quenches the fiery darts. That word quench doesn't mean that it instantly extinguishes. The word quench means that it dampens it. And it continues to do it until finally it goes out. It's like taking a candle and lighting it and putting a glass on top of it and sealing the container so that as the fire burns, it burns up the oxygen in the container, and eventually it's going to go out. God says that's what your faith is going to do to every evil work that is in your body, in your spirit, and in your mind. That if you'll keep the faith every day that you get up, God is going to quench a little more everything you've got to deal with in the flesh. One day we're going to learn to walk in the spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But it comes through faith. Everybody say faith. Every day we get up, we've got to walk in faith. Every day we continue, it is in faith unto the Lord. And so we left faith. And if you want to hear about faith, you need to go back to the podcast on the website and listen to the former messages. Will you stay with me today? I normally only preach about 35, 40 minutes in an hour. I mean an hour and 45 minutes. So if you'll stay with me, I might be just a little longer today, but I'll be patient if you don't run the aisles. If you'll be patient, stay in the Word with me. Is that a deal? All right, tell your neighbor that. Hallelujah. My wife's teaching me what to say and not to say. We're going to marriage counseling, though, here pretty soon. So we left faith and we made our way into hope. Oh, the power of hope. I want to tell you, if you can get a hold of this, it'll change your life. the devil will never have another chance in you. You say, well, isn't faith enough? No, faith is not enough. Now, this might blow your mind, but you can't have hope. Now listen, you cannot have hope without faith, because in order to have hope, you have to have faith in that which you have hope in. And we'll touch on that in a little bit. But you can have faith and not hope. You say, well, how is that possible? Well, I have met people. I found myself in this condition. You see, I can have faith that God is a healer, but I have lost hope that He will heal me. Now, you need to listen to the preacher today. I can have faith that God is a deliverer, but somehow I've lost hope that He will deliver me. I can have faith that God is a provider, but somehow I've lost hope that He will provide for me. And so I can have faith, but yet lose hope. But Paul says, if you're going to make it in this world, you've got to link hope up to your faith. And when you link hope, when you link them up arm to arm, where they lock in, and you got faith over here and hope over here, I'm here to tell you, you put these two together, and there is no devil in hell. There is no power on earth. There is no spirit that will stop your progression in Christ. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now, we looked at this word called hope already a little bit. About a year and a half ago, we did a 6-week study on this word called hope. And I encourage you to go back in the podcast and find it. Hope's powerful. But this word hope has 3 levels of meaning, and they are all needed. We learned that the first thing about hope is expectation. Somebody say expecting. You see, when you have hope, you expect something. You show up expecting it to happen. Like, I hope you came to church today expecting God to do something. But how many came to church today expecting God to do something for you? See, that's your hope. That's your hope. And we have to have it. The second level is confidence. So not only do I expect Him to do it, but I have the confidence that He is able to do it. That He is, in fact, the Bible says He is more than able to do anything that you can think or imagine. Christ is more than able to do it. And when I receive that expectancy, and I receive that confidence that He can, then the third level of this word is rejoicing. I'm telling you, when you truly believe He's able and you truly expect He's going to do it, and even right now today, it just kind of does something to you, and you just get a little excited, and a little bit of rejoicing begins to come up on the inside of you. You just can't help but get excited. We talked about man, and we know man can let you down, and we understand that. Man certainly can let you down. But I can remember many, many, many times. Now, I was raised very, very, very poor, so you have to understand me thinking that my big brother, Harmon, who sort of took over the family after Dad left, thinking that my big brother, Harmon, or my big brother, James, they went to the store, and they know I love a Snickers bar with a Dr. Pepper. And I've been a good boy. And so we had this big old picture glass window. I think it's the only glass that wasn't shattered in the house, but it was a little thicker than the other ones. And I can remember they would go, and I'd know they're going down to Winola's. That was the name of it, Winola's, down the street and 2 blocks away, and they would drive. I could see the old blue Fairlane pull up into the parking lot in Winola's, and I'd see Harmon get out and go in, and I'd sit there and look through that window, and I'd anticipation. You see, I had confidence that he could, I had confidence that he would, and I knew that he could because he just got paid. So I knew he had the money to buy me a Snickers bar and a Dr. Pepper.
And I would look through that glass window, and I would begin to salivate and just waiting. And I saw him get in the car, and he had a little brown bag in his hand. And I knew there was something in that bag, and there's a good chance it's for me. And I just get all excited. Of course, now, when he got there, I just run over, sit in front of the TV, and act like nothing was going on. You know, sort of like some of y'all do in church. Sister Rob, I'm just saying. But I just sit down because, you know, I didn't want him to know. That'd be crazy, right? And Harm, he'd walk in, he'd go past me, he'd go in the kitchen, and I'm starting to sweat now. I'm just wondering if I'm going to get my candy bar and my Dr. Pepper. And then he'd walk out, and because I mowed the grass or I did whatever it is I was supposed to do, he'd walk out. He'd say, "Come here, boy." And I'd go in there, be my Dr. Pepper, and there'd be my Snickers, and I would rejoice on the inside because I didn't get one of those but about once a month, and I was just excited. I'm telling you, when you have confidence and when you know they will and you believe they're able, my God, there's a rejoicing. It's how we are to get in the house of God. We are to come to the house of God knowing that He's a healer. Knowing not only can He heal, but He will heal me. Not only can He provide, but He will provide for me. Not only can He deliver, but He will deliver for me. Come on, somebody. Hope when you link it up with faith. It's powerful. True hope requires that you have confidence in the one that you're hoping in. Stay with me today. I know I'm still reviewing a little bit, but God's going to help us. Requires to have confidence in the one that you're hoping in to do the job. This relationship between faith and hope. For now, faith is what? The substance. Hebrews 11 and 1, Don. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Now look at the relationship. Faith is the substance. It is the undergirding support of the things we hope for. Because you can have false hope. Now I don't really have time to get into all of this, but when you hope in the things of man, there's a good chance it's false hope. When you hope in today's technology, it can very well be false hope. It can let you down. And you can have false hope. And so there's this relationship between faith and hope. Because God doesn't want us to have false hope. So He wants us to take our hope and He wants us to link it up with faith. Now, where does faith come from? Faith cometh by? And hearing what? Faith cometh by hearing and hearing the Word of God. So what the Lord is really doing is He's getting a relationship here of hope and He's marrying it to the Word of God. And when you have hope in the Word of God, you can never fail. Come on. You got to get a hold of that. When we put our hope into the promises of the Word of God, it will never fail. Now, because heaven and earth might pass away, but not one crossing of the T, not one dotting of the I of the Word of God will ever fail. When I put my hope in the Word of God. I don't mean to get off on this so much, but that's the problem with modern religion today, is they've got church people believing in stuff, hoping in stuff that's not even in the book. It's not even in the book. No wonder they're so confused. But when you take your hope and it's based on the foundation of the Word of God,
then you can stand strong. You can lift up your head. You can open your mouth. And that's when the scripture is fulfilled, that my hope never brings shame to me. Why? Because God will never fail. God will never let me down. God will always come through.
You see, faith is coming into agreement with what God is saying. Huh? His word. But hope anticipates its reality. I don't just read the word. I believe it's going to come to pass in my life. I don't just read the word. I believe it's going to come to pass in my family's life through my prayers and believing and trusting God. Thessalonians tell us, put on the breastplate of faith and the helmet of salvation. We touched on that. We touched on that last Sunday. Now, Abraham was the father of faith. Everybody say the relationship between faith and hope. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you don't get a hold of hope, you will lose your faith. Hope brings life to your faith. Hope brings reality to your faith. Whew, my God, this is so powerful, I can't even preach it. It's so beyond me. I'm just praying somehow God will touch your mind and touch your heart. I want to show you something. Now, the Bible calls Abraham the what? Say it. Say it. Now, why is he the father of faith? Anybody want to guess? It's not a trick question. He believed God. That's really good there, Professor Powell. I'm picking at it. I love him so much. He's the main reason that we see the father of faith is through the example of Sarah. Now, Sarah was 90 years old when she had Isaac. 90. How old are you, baby? Don't answer that. She's above 30. And Brother Powell said 91. Just thought I'd throw it out there for you, baby. Remember, revenge is mine, thus saith the Lord. And we're already saying, you know, Joel is what? 17. Turned 17 pretty soon, not too long ago. And we're like, dude, no more kids, you know? So a couple of months ago, she was 9 days late. And Abraham went outside and sat on the steps. And said, God, I just want you to know I am not receiving this or believing this. And I have no hope. So God answered that prayer. Anyway, 90 years old. And Abraham's 99. Now the promise came, I think she was, what, 75. Am I right on that? I can't remember. I get my numbers mixed up a little bit. Maybe it was 65. But, and then 25 years later, so whatever 90 minus 25 is. What is that? Yeah. Okay. I think he said, I heard a four, and I'm thinking, dude, you can't subtract five from 10 and get four anywheres in math. All right, anyway, so 25 years goes by. So everybody says about Abraham, my, what faith to every day get up and believe God. Every day. God's going to do it. God's going to do it. God's going to do it. Ishmael comes. Whoops. One day of lapse. Don't lapse on faith. It can bring all kinds of problems. God's going to do it. God's going to do it. God's going to do it. Every day, every day, every day, every day. Until he was called the father of faith. But I'm going to tell you, while Abraham kept the faith, Romans chapter 4 and verse 18 tells us, who against hope believed in hope. Abraham kept the faith because he never lost the hope that no matter how bad it got, no matter how bad it looked, no matter how impossible it was, hope. What is hope? I believe he can. I believe he will. And I will rejoice in it until it happens. It's called hope. And the Bible says, against hope. What that means is, when there was no hope, he chose to have hope. Some of you aren't believing that. Because I know your situations, I know your conditions, and some of you are in a situation and in a condition that there is no hope. There is nothing man can do. There is nothing technology can do. There is nothing that can be done. You have no hope. But I'm here to tell you today, if against hope you will believe and hope, have hope anyhow, link it up to your faith, and where it seems impossible, God will make it possible. For with man, this is impossible. But with God, nothing. Come on, somebody. Nothing shall be impossible. I've come and encourage you to get your hope back. I've come to tell you, it don't matter how bad it looks, get your hope back. Against hope. It's hopeless. He never let go of his hope. Now, I don't know where that hope was born. I have a feeling that when that angel came down and said, Abraham, you are going to be the father of many nations. And the seed is going to come from you, and the egg is going to come from Sarah. Sarah is going to be the mother of many nations. At that moment, now you better listen to Pastor, because I'm telling you today, right now, if you can resurrect your hope, You see, you never lost your faith. You never lost your faith. You believe in God. You show up at church every Sunday. You're here trusting God. You're here walking with God. You have financial situation. You're losing your home. And Sister So-and-so stands up, Sister Wanda, all her little miracles. She stands up one day and she testifies, God delivered me from a 37,000, 46, 47, whatever, yeah, 46. Got a letter in the mail. We have forgiven you of your $46,000 indebtedness. And you're on the other side saying, hey, I only need 32. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. And then someone else gets up and testifies. Went to the doctor a few months ago. I had a mass on my lungs. Then the church prayed for me. I went back and the mass is gone. And there you sit four rows back after 9 treatments of chemotherapy. Your hair's coming out. And you say, God, you're not a respecter of persons. If you'll heal them, you'll heal me. You've got the faith, but your hope is shaken. And I'm here to tell you today in the Holy Ghost, if you will resurrect that hope, the promise of God will come to pass in your life. Now stay with me for a moment. I wasn't planning on stopping here, but I think me and Jesus are going to play with this a little bit. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now, Abraham gets all excited. Runs home, gets Sarah. They jump in the hot tub. Sorry about that. Then a couple weeks go by. They go down to the local CVS. What do they call it? CVS. Wine gardens. There's always a, when there's a CVS, there's always a wine garden. Is that how it goes? Walgreens. Sorry about that, wine gardens. If you ever find a Walgreens, just go around the corner. There'll be a CVS. I think they're owned by the same person. Competition's good for business, you know. They go down there and they get one of them little tests. And they bring it back home. They're all excited. They get around the table. There's Sarah, 70-something years old, whatever 25, 90 minus 25 is, 70, 65. So. She is 65 years old, and she's just excited. They do whatever they're supposed to do to make them things happen. I don't know. And negative. That's all right, baby. We'll try again. Negative. That's all right, baby. We'll try again. Negative. That's okay, baby. We'll try again. Negative. Listen, Sarah believed God. You know how I know that? Because I want you to listen to the words of Sarah. Sarah said, God has closed up my wound. Now, if you can believe God can close it up, can't you believe God can open it? So she didn't lose her faith in God. She lost hope.
She knew God was able to give child, but she lost hope that God would give her child.
And she didn't lose faith in the promise of God for Abraham. She didn't lose that. She said, go get Hagar. You see, when you lose hope, this is what happens. You start doing dumb things. Huh? You start making, is that word okay? Is that politically correct? It's dumb. You start doing uneducated things. Unwise. Sophisticated synonyms for dumb. You start making all of these crazy decisions. Go get Hagar and go into Hagar. And I wasn't there, and I certainly understand the man obeying the wife. We got a prime example with Brother Powell and Sister Powell. It's a prime example. Actually, if he'd obey her, he'd be a whole lot better off, wouldn't he? How's that finger doing, brother? Working on that lawnmower while it's still running. Doing okay? That finger doing okay? Okay. My wife will absolutely chew me out when I get home. And you think she should, don't you? So goes into Hagar. All right, let's finish. Goes into Hagar. Out comes little Ishmael. Now here's the danger. You ready for the danger? God shows back up in Abraham's life. Now you watch me. You watch the word. You watch what happens when you lose hope. When you lose hope in the promise of God, if you're not careful, you'll get hope in things that are not of God. Now watch the words of Abraham. God shows back up. He says, Abraham, I'm about to make this thing happen. I'm going to give you a kid. Sarah's going to have a baby. And here's the words of Abraham. But I've already got Ishmael. Can Ishmael be the promised child? Look at him. Look at him. Bouncing baby boy. Everybody has got used to watching Ishmael run around and kick things over. And he's Abraham's little boy and Sarah's little surrogate child or whatever you call it. I don't know. And everybody's used to seeing Ishmael. But Ishmael was never the promise of God. When God showed up, he came back to his original promise. And he said, no, Abraham, it's not going to be Ishmael. I told you it's going to be your seed. And it's going to come out of Sarah's belly. That's the way it's going to happen. He's 99 years old. Don't tell me that he didn't resurrect his hope. Because you're either legally insane or you got a whole lot of hope when you're 99. And you say, come on, baby. God said, it's me and you. So you're either insane or somewheres your hope got resurrected and you linked it up to your faith and you walked in to the promise of God all over again and God brings out to you his promise. Let's stand. Let's stand. Clap your hands to the Lord. If you lose your hope in Sarah, you're going to start hoping in Ishmael's and Hagar's. And you're going to have stuff running around that's not from God.
And everybody's going to get used to seeing it in your life. And you'll convince everybody around you, this is God. But you know, deep down inside, this isn't God. This isn't God.
My God. Every mind on the Lord right now. He's speaking to us. I feel His presence in this place. I feel His presence. I don't want any music, because some of my music players and instruments, they might need what God has. And I'm telling you right now, in this altar, if you want it, is the resurrection of your hope. And I don't know what God has promised you or what you have been asking Him, but things have come into your life and it has caused you. Oh, your faith is still there, but your hope's not like it used to be. And God wants you don't rejoice in Him. When you think about the promise, you no longer rejoice in Him about it. Why? Because your hope's been dampened. You've lost the confidence. Yeah, you lost it. The fact that He can, the fact that He will, the fact that He's able, you've let it go. But God wants to bring you back. He wants you to come and get that hope renewed on the inside of you. Get it renewed in your heart. Get it renewed in your spirit. Come on, link your hope back up to your faith. Let's get a hold of something here today, my God. And if you're here today and you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, it's for you. When you lift those hands, say, God, I want your spirit. I want your spirit in me. Come on, that's it, apostolics. Let's begin to pray. Let's begin to talk to God, each and every one of us. You're going to begin to feel something touch you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Come on, reach for Him. Come on, reach for Him. We don't need music to touch God, do we? No, 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 no. This is too personal. I want my singers. I want my singers over here on the side. I want you in the altar. Come on, that's why I'm not having music. Not for you to sit over there. I want you with the church. Come on. Come on, we're going to get a hold of something here today. I'm telling you, I can feel the spirit world begin to rip. Come on. I can feel tears beginning to happen in the principalities and the powers of the air of darkness. As we begin to pray, that blanket that Satan has put over you, that damper that he has put over you, that has caused you to lose hope. My God, have mercy. As we begin to pray as a church, we're going to feel that rip. We're going to feel that tear. That darkness is going to be taken away. It's going to be removed today. Come on, Mom, you've been believing God. You've been believing God. What happened? Come on, trust God. Come on, trust God. Come on, you got to push through your flesh. Come on, church, we got to push through our flesh. We have to push through our flesh. This isn't going to be easy. Satan doesn't want you to have it. But if you'll push through, if you'll tear that barrier, if you'll remove that darkness, your hope's going to be resurrected. Your hope's going to rise up. Your hope in praying for your children. Come on, you got to get it back. Your hope in praying for your health. You got to get it back. Your hope in praying for your situation. You got to get it back. Your hope in praying for your family, your siblings, your mom and dad. You got to get it back. How do I know when I get that hope back? Because rejoicing will come. Rejoicing will come. Rejoicing will come. Because hope is expecting. Hope is having confidence. And hope is the pleasure of knowing God is going to do it. A rejoicing will come. A joy will come. A pleasure will come. Your faith in it will be reunited again. It will ignite again. A fire will be born all over again. An excitement will be born all over again.